So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by this great American on Martin Luther King Day, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
A great Vito. It is wonderful to be here as always.
It is very good to be here. Today is Martin Luther King Day, a federal holiday in the United States. Martin Luther King was born January 15th, 1929, and died after being gunned down by James Earl Ray in Memphis, Tennessee. Died April 4th, 1968, just 2 months before the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy in California. Dr. King made his now infamous I Have a Dream speech August 26, 1963 in Washington, D.C., which we opened the show with. You heard a piece of I Have a Dream that all men are created equal. They will be judged not by the color of the skin, but the content of their character. And boy, is that true. And sadly, that measurement has been abandoned by the Marxists in America, especially those that are with the identify as Democrats, the destructive Democrat Party, the Democrat Marxist Party. They're in the business of division, and it's contrary to what Reverend King, Dr. King's vision was for America and was becoming, and that's the sad part of it. It was certainly becoming a colorless society. And then, you know, Obama and the globalists had to change that and implement their Cloward and Piven Marxist mentality in order to divide the United States of America and segment it not only by race, but by every other type of ethnicity and special interest that one may have. So it's really sad, and they call it diversity now, and Dr. King would be appalled at the level of hypocrisy and tearing down our republic the way in which the Democrat Marxist Party has done. So, but it was a great speech. If you have a chance to listen to it, it is available. You can Google it. You can Google the transcripts. You can Google the speech itself, and it's a speech that certainly was the catalyst for Dr. King to become the leader, so that he was.
But now a man can be a woman, can be a man. You have to add it. Judge a man, judge a man pretending to be a woman by the color of the skin, by whatever gender they want to choose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's so just complicated.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't have to be. It's not really a complicated issue. I mean, it's not complicated. You know, there's two sexes when you're born, male and female, right? Chromosome X and Y or A and B or whatever the hell it is. And, you know, it's not really that difficult. But now you have cross-dressers who want to, you know, to identify as a female and then compete against females. And just in sports itself, you know, you have to be sensitive to that diversity. In the meantime, you know, biological women are being passed once again. And the cause for women, the women's causes, women's rights, you know, are being abridged by this radical anti-American Marxist mentality. And if you go to Cloward and Piven, you got the eight, you know, the eight items, Saul Alinsky's eight measurements for a Marxist. And, you know, the Democrat Marxist Party is following it to a T. Following it to a T.
Yeah.
So.
Sad day. sad commentary on our culture.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken a while. You know, the progressive movement really started, you know, putting forth. They found their success in 1913 with the implementation of the Internal Revenue Service and the Federal Reserve, a non-governmental entity. And, you know, that particular progressive movement under Woodrow Wilson, you know, was to take away the United States Treasury from monitoring our money supply. And now we are beholden to an outside entity, and God forbid you should question this non-governmental entity. And they are, you know, they are dictating, you know, the money supply in America, and you know, the inflation, from the inflation aspect of it. The interest on the national debt, and we can thank the politicians in Washington, D.C., you know, for escalating the debt to a $31 trillion level, but the interest just on that debt is $602 billion a year now. $602 billion. We take in $4.1 trillion, $602 billion. Now, you do the math on that, you know, what, one-sixth of our income that's coming, the revenue that's coming in, and then you've got these yahoos sending, you know, billions to Ukraine and other countries. In the meantime, you know, we do have a little bit of a problem at home, but, you know, with the Democrat Socialist Party, the Democrat Marxists, the Uniparty, they have no problem spending taxpayer money and just continue to piss it away. So
that's why us Republicans work so hard, and so the Marxist Democrat can spend our money.
It's just, yeah. Well, someone who's spending money is Siwoo Kim. The second week of the new PGA tour, new PGA year, was once again in Hawaii at the Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open. And I didn't, you know, realize it's one of the longest running tournaments at one course. I think it's like number two, only to Augusta and to three until the Colonial. Sony Open is the home of the big Palm Tree W. So if anybody is a fan of comedy, and it's called It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. It was, matter of fact, it was just on this past week. I did watch it. I did actually DVR it because it is one funny movie. It has all the comedians back in the 60s. From, you know, Buddy Hackett to Milton Berle and Terry Thomas and Ethel Merman. And as soon as Ethel Merman starts talking, anyways, this particular movie, the treasure was buried under the big W. And so the Wailea Country Club members, they were a fan of this movie back in 1960, 61. 62, I think it was, maybe Spencer Tracy was in it as well. But they were a fan of this movie, and they planted the same W at the 16th hole, in back of the 16th hole, and it stands for Wailea. So it was it's pretty cool. Anyways, little history that you probably didn't really care about. So for the second week in a row, an American golfer, this time Hayden Buckley, seeking his first PGA Tour win, faded on Sunday after having a two-stroke lead going into the final round. Korean Siwoo Kim was tied for second going into Sunday's final round, and there was a bit of drama, you know, at the end of the tournament, and I don't know if you watched it, Al, but there was a little bit of a drama, and it was Buckley was tied with Kim, and Buckley was playing one hole behind Kim, and Buckley birdied the 16th hole, the par four, to take a one-shot lead over Kim. But that lead was short-lived because about a minute later, up ahead on the par 317th, Kim hit his tee shot over the green. He chips it up, and he knocks it in, drains it. Boom. Great shot, you know, certainly. Then Kim proceeded to birdie the 18th hole after hitting a great tee shot. The 18th is a par five, but he found the bunker, and he went for the green in two anyways, and he makes it. Kim two-putts the par five 18th hole for a birdie four. He takes a one-shot lead and then had to wait for Buckley to tee off and to finish the 18th hole. Buckley hits a, you know, halfway decent drive, and it is in the fairway. He goes for the green in two, comes up short, just short right, has to chip up. His chip was not a very good chip. He chips it past the hole. It goes 15 to 18 feet past the hole. Coming back, he needs the birdie putt to tie to force a playoff, and he misses the putt. And unfortunately, Buckley, like his first name is Hayden Buckley, did not win his first PGA Tour event, but it was his highest finish, finishing solo second. Siwoo Kim picks up his fourth PGA Tour win, and the second week in a row, an American collapsed, and a foreigner wins the tournament. But once again, a beautiful, you know, venue. I don't think it's as nice as Kauai last week, but boy, it's just anytime you can play in Hawaii, I'm sure it doesn't really matter what the course, you know, doesn't have to be pristine, but you know, this particular course that where they hold the Sony Open at Wailea has a lot of history to it, and it's really cool to see to watch it. And I'm glad it's so much time behind on the East Coast, so we get to watch it in prime time and really not have to worry about missing anything. So, unless you're a football fan. So,
well, unfortunately, I had to miss it because Bob on TV for cable just went out. So,
but was that the box for cable went out?
Yeah, my box for cable just went out. So, no cable TV for me. So, I missed all the golf. We can be upset.
Oh, that's too bad. It was actually a good finish. You know, what was surprising was on the 16th hole, Buckley he drains like a 25 footer, beautiful putt, great putt. You know, okay, now everyone's elated, and he walks off the green, and then they pan over to the 17th hole, and Siwoo Kim, you know, knocks the ball, you know, 10 yards over the green, and he freaking drains it. He drains the chip. I mean, dead center. I'm watching going, that thing's going to go in, and bang, it hits the stick and drops right in. It's like, oh, crap, this is not going to be good. But, hey, he played. The guy's not a great putter, but he was the most consistent on Sunday, and it's too bad because Buckley did kind of have a couple of poor bogeys but on putting. But, yeah, so congratulations to Siwoo. He's gives him his fourth tour win. And then last Monday night after our show, or actually during the show, because it started at 7:30, was the college football national championship game played between number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs and number four ranked TCU Horned Frogs. The Bulldogs of Georgia ate the Horned Frogs for appetizer, for dinner, and had them for dessert. They trounced the Horned Frogs 65-7, and it was a shellacking. It was
for the Frogs.
You thought they were going to do something, but they just couldn't get anything together. And the Georgia defense was really, really good. It was a good old fashioned Southern whipping, and this gave Georgia, you know, a back to back championship. They won last year, and they won again this year. But the reason of bringing it up really is because it was a short celebration. And sadly, just 3 days later on Thursday evening, two members of the Georgia Bulldog National Championship team were killed in a morning one car accident. Offensive lineman Devin Willock and football staffer Chandler LaCroix were killed. LaCroix, I believe, was driving the vehicle when it went off the road and it barreled into two telephone poles and hit some trees. Also in the car was 21-year-old offensive lineman Warren McClendon and a Victoria Bowles, who both were injured, but both did not sustain life-threatening injuries. So while there was such elation on Monday evening after winning, you know, the national championship and being back-to-back champs, it was a lot of sorrow on Thursday. So, you know, very sad news, actually. It's just terrible to see that kind of thing happen. So,
yeah, tragic.
Yeah. And so, you know what? I know Hank does the celebrity deaths, but I got to tell you, I was doing some work this weekend, and actually I want to blame bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, because on January the 12th is when it all started. It's a great blog spot, believe me, folks. If you want a great blog spot that gives you diverse news, world news, and links to world news, check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Go to it every day. I like the menu of news vehicles that Big puts out there, so you do a great job, Big. But I saw that one, Robbie Knievel, died this past Friday at the age of 60. Robbie Knievel is the older son of Evel Knievel, and Robbie was a stuntman himself. He had over 350 famous just stunt jumps. He died of pancreatic cancer. And the day prior to that, or I believe it was Wednesday, Lisa Marie Presley died, sudden heart cardiac arrest. So I know she had some problems with opioids, but all of these sudden deaths, aside from, you know, Robbie, at least they gave a reason for, you know, Knievel dying, but they said a sudden cardiac arrest for Lisa Marie Presley. Three Massachusetts state police officers die within days of each other. Suddenly, a basketball star collapses on the court. Suddenly, another basketball star collapsed and died in Bahamas. Suddenly, Hawaiian mixed martial arts star at the age of 18. Suddenly dies. And then you had the former University of Alabama running back, 42, I believe, suddenly dying. Yeah, so.
More than just a one-off.
Yeah.
Pattern of events. The big 1,691% sudden deaths in 2023.
What was that, 1,100 and what?
1,691% increase in sudden deaths in young people under 50.
Okay, so 1,691% increase in sudden deaths over
sudden
last
deaths.
Year.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Something
to see
here.
Jab.
Move along.
Yeah, Jeb. Something Jeb. Is definitely Jeb wrong, Jeb. But you know, you can't say anything about that. Okay, you can't say anything about the jab. Okay, you can't talk about COVID-19, China virus, the Wuhan virus. You can't talk about that. And one of the things that, you know, I was going through on, and I say January 12th, because in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, I see an article in there. And the article is titled, from the Daily Signal, not just misinformation. In emails to White House, Facebook admits suppressing often true content on COVID-19 vaccines. And the writer is Tyler O'Neill. And if you read this article, and I'll put a link in the chat room, but you go ahead and read this article. And if you don't become incensed and enraged, there's something wrong with you. And it doesn't matter what political party or what your political affiliation is. You should be absolutely outraged after Twitter file dumps 12. And now the revelation comes out about Facebook and Google with the White House, with the government, the United States government suppressing speech. There's a great quotation a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, sent. And the quote starts like, it quote goes like this. It didn't start with gas chambers. It started with one party controlling the media, one party controlling the message, one party deciding what is the truth. one party censoring speech and silencing opposition, one party dividing citizens into us and them, and calling on their supporters to harass them. It started when good people turned a blind eye and let it happen. Now, that's a variation of the quote in the Auschwitz exhibition, but this is a great quote because it describes exactly what is wrong with government and what is wrong with the American people. What suppression the Biden-Harris regimes are engaged in. Suppression of news, suppression of information, specifically when it comes, or especially when it comes to COVID-19 issues. Transparency. You remember it was Joe Biden, lying Joe Biden, who stated he was going to be the most transparent president in U.S. history, which turned out to be nothing more than a meaningless cliche. It was an empty campaign soundbite. Remember, he had to distinguish himself between, distinguish himself from President Trump. So they put this buffoon in place, they, the handlers, in order to make the appearance that he was this big man on campus. And Joe came out with all these meaningless slogans and meaningless cliches, such as the most transparent president in U.S. history. What is for certain is Joe Biden is a liar, as are the people he's placed to run his corrupt regime. One party controlling the message and one party deciding what is the truth. What can you say about this truth? Twitter file dumps, confirms the U.S. government colluded with social media platforms. This confirmation now that Facebook and Google controlled the message, and they became the arbiters of the message and truth. We learned in the Twitter file dumps, Twitter executives under the Jack Dorsey administration worked closely with the U.S. government, including anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime, to control the message of COVID-19, not to mention controlling the message of Hunter Biden's laptop, to terminate any individuals or companies who dare to go against the message of the White House and the U.S. government. That's called censoring speech. Okay? The First Amendment of the United States Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, such as, say, go to church, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Censoring speech is exactly what the Biden-Harris regime was engaged in. They were also engaged in silencing the opposition. This is not transparency. This is totalitarianism. So whether it's the Muslim Brotherhood or the Biden-Harris regime, it's all about censorship. Censoring the opposition, demonizing the opposition, silencing the opposition. We thought the Twitter file dump was revealing. Now we find out that Facebook was actively engaged with the anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime's White House. It started with good people turning a blind eye and let it happen. The White House, led by the anti-constitutionalist Joe Biden, authorized the censoring and abridging freedom of speech and freedom of the press. The President of the United States actively engaged in abridging freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And he did it just like his comrade Barack. Dictator Biden sought to stem free speech and prohibit the free press. And remember, America has this thing called the Bill of Rights. And under the Bill of Rights that I just read, the First Amendment, there are these things called amendments. And remember the quote. It started with one party censoring speech and silencing the opposition. One party controlling the message. It started with good people turning a blind eye and let it happen. And first it was the government colluding with Twitter to control the message, to control the speech, to silence the opposition. And the DNC controlled state media was obligatory in letting this happen. And now it turns out that Facebook and Google and YouTube also colluded with the Biden-Harris regime, worked together to censor speech, to silence the opposition, and control the message. In an email to the White House dated March 21, 2021, that's just 2 months after Lion Biden was installed, a Facebook member discussed the levers for tackling vaccine hesitancy content with Andrew Slavitt, then a senior advisor on Biden's COVID-19 response team, and Rob Flattery, White House Director of Digital Strategy. So digital strategy means to censor the opposition. Digital strategy means to censor speech. That's the digital strategy. You censor speech, you control the opposition, you silence the opposition on all social media platforms. You also, okay, so the article goes on to say, you also have asked us about levers for reducing virality of vaccine hesitancy content, wrote the Facebook staffer, whose identity was redacted. Why? Why was that staffer's identity redacted? We need to know who these people are, who are actively engaging in undermining our constitutional republic, undermining the Bill of Rights. As you know, in addition to removing vaccine misinformation, we have been focused on reducing the virality of content discouraging vaccines that does not contain actionable information. This is often true content. Let me read it again. This is often true content, which we allow at the post level because it is important for people to be able to discuss both their personal experience and concerns about the vaccine, but it can be framed as sensation, alarmist, or shocking. I don't know, like three Massachusetts state police officers suddenly dying, an 18-year-old basketball player suddenly dying. We'll remove these groups. Okay, so the memo goes on to say, from Facebook, we will remove these groups, pages, and accounts when they are disproportionately promoting this sensationalized content, the Facebook staffer added. He or she then promised more on this front as we proceed to implement. Did you get that? We'll remove these groups, pages, and accounts. But it doesn't end there. Because the staffer also suggested the White House had asked Facebook to take these measures. So the Biden regime is actively abridging freedom of speech. The White House digital strategy chief, Rob Flaherty, added that combating vaccine hesitancy is a concern that is shared at the highest, and I mean the highest levels of the White House. So the highest levels of the White House are the vice president and the president. And the vice president isn't even in the White House, so it has to be the president of the United States and maybe his first lady. So you have Susan Rice, Samantha Power, and you have who? Joe Biden, the authoritarian in chief. You have the United States government actively censoring speech in America. The most transparent president ever to be installed is controlling speech in America. And if that's not enough, and that's controlling speech of you and I, who may state that we do not want to get the vaccine, that we have a hesitancy, okay? Let's use their words, a vaccine hesitancy to get jabbed. Maybe a fear that your family has some sort of heart disease history, that if you take the vaccine, you'll die as well. You're going to die of a heart attack anyways, possibly. But if you're doing all the right things, you have 22-year-olds dropping dead, 18-year-olds suddenly dropping dead, three police officers dropping dead within days of each other. Suddenly. So now if you voice your concern, or let's say that you're a licensed, successful medical doctor, you hold that MD, and you take your Hippocratic Oath serious, let's say Dr. Robert Malone, who understands the whole dynamics of the mRNA. Wasn't he also the one who identified the mRNA? I think maybe he might understand the entire sequence or have a very good understanding of it. Who speaks out, he speaks about the vaccine hesitancy disallowed at the behest of the White House, at the highest levels, by the way. The White House digital strategy chief added that combating vaccine hesitancy is a concern that is shared at the highest levels of the White House. Now, you can't go any higher than the highest level, which means that Joe Biden knew exactly what was being done. Joe Biden authorized the censoring and the abridging of speech in America. So all this nonsense about Facebook being a private company, all this noise about Twitter being a private company is all bullshit. It's all a distraction. Joe Biden was actively engaged in usurping the United States Constitution. And you wonder why they refer to America as a democracy and not a constitutional republic. But hey, it gets even better, because part of that First Amendment is what? Abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. On April 14th, 2021, less than a month later, an email to Facebook, Rob Flattery, the White House digital strategy chief, okay, suggested the social media platform should take action to suppress Fox News host Tucker Carlson and conservative journalist Tommy Lahren. The White House chief strategy digital strategy chief, who, by the way, is someone who's appointed by the President of the United States, who holds the same beliefs that the President of the United States holds, who's nothing more than a chimpanzee for the President of the United States, and is told what to do by the President of the United States. And of course, with Joe Biden being a useful idiot, he'll claim plausible deniability. Since we've been on the phone, the top post about vaccines today is Tucker Carlson saying they don't work, Flattery wrote. Yesterday was Tony Lahren saying she won't take one. This is exactly why I want to know what reduction actually looks like. If reduction means pumping our most vaccine hesitant audience with Tucker Carlson saying it doesn't work, I'm not sure it's reduction. How do you like these all woke words, right? How do you like this all revisionist words? You know, vaccine hesitancy and reduction. Stemming free speech now, censoring free speech in America is called reduction. This is how these anti-constitutionalists like to change things. They modify these words. Since we've been on the phone, the top post vaccine today is Tucker Carlson saying they don't work. And what was wrong with him saying that? If you get the vaccine, you'll never get COVID, which is a lie, and another one of the lie in Biden's lies. So the vaccine doesn't prohibit you from getting or contracting COVID. So Tucker Carlson was making a statement, and I'm sure he had spoken to several physicians, doctors, who absolutely know about the vaccine, like Dr. Robert Malone. Yesterday was Tommy Lahren saying she won't take one. This is exactly why I want to know what the reduction actually looks like. If reduction means pumping our vaccine hesitant audience with Tucker Carlson saying it doesn't work, then I'm not sure it's reduction. That was from the director of digital strategy, Rob Flattery. This is not transparency. Okay, this is authoritarian rule. And if you go to this article in the Daily Signal, the article is titled, "Not Just Misinformation, in Emails to White House, Facebook Admits Suppressing Often True Content on COVID-19 Vaccines." The Daily Signal also lists copies and shows copies of 1, 2, 3, 4 additional memos from Flattery, Rob Flattery, to Facebook. 1, 2, 3, 4. So the White House was actively working with Facebook. Now, where is the outrage to all this, huh? Where is the outrage by the United States media, the DNC media? Are they that beholden to the Democrat National Committee in order to shield lying Joe Biden with this authoritarian rule, who's usurping the United States Constitution, who's abridging the right of speech, who's abridging freedom of speech for the free and freedom of the press, and actively doing it? We're not talking about a one-time memo. We're talking about several memos over several months, March 24th, April 14th, April 22nd, and May 12th, just to name a few. This is just Facebook. We're not talking about Twitter. Where is the outrage? Okay, just it doesn't, irrespective of your party affiliation, we're talking about the abridging of free of speech by the White House, by the United States government, by the face of the United States government, prohibiting a free press, specifically naming members of the press, just like Barack Hussein Satoru Obama did when he went after James Rosen and his family, using the IRS, weaponizing the IRS to go after Rosen and his family. Where is the outrage by the supposed media who wants to pretend that they are impartial when you have the White House actively going after members of a free press in the United States of America? You know, there was absolute silence with regards to the Twitter file dumps because it was damning to the Democrat Party. It was damning to the White House. It was showing the corruption and collusion that was going on to silence Americans. We saw it firsthand, and we were called conspiracy theorists with regards to the New York Post and the Hunter Biden laptop. And we saw it with regards to COVID. How many of us were suspended from Twitter because we dare mention about therapeutics being used as a treatment method if you got COVID. And it turns out that it's this president, okay, Joe Lion Biden, who is behind abridging freedom of speech and freedom of the press, just like his former boss, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, did back in 2012 with regards to James Rosen and his family, a journalist. Now, I don't know what it's going to take for the American people to rise up and state enough is enough. But that quote that our mutual friend sent was absolutely perfect. It didn't start with the gas chambers. It started with one party controlling the media. That is the Democrat Party. It started with one party controlling the message. That is the Democrat Party. It was one party deciding what is the truth, and that's the Democrat Party. And it was Joe Biden who wanted a Ministry of Truth to determine what was disinformation and misinformation based on the White House's opinion. That is not a constitutional republic. That is not what our founders. It started with one party censoring speech and silencing the opposition, and we see it on a frequent basis. It was President Trump. It was Joe Rogan. Anybody who they deem to be their political opponent. One party dividing citizens into us and them and calling on their supporters to harass them. We can certainly look to the Supreme Court justices and the incitement to violence by Maxine Waters, the incitement to violence by Adam Schiff, the incitement to violence by Chuck Schumer. And where's the media? Where is the media? Violations of U.S. code with regards to harassing Supreme Court justices, which is illegal. It started when good people turned a blind eye and let it happen. Folks, we can't turn a blind eye to this because now we're finding out how frequently it's happening. We all love Twitter. We all love Facebook, and it's nice to connect with our family and our friends from around the country and around the world. Certainly, you can't deny that. Okay, what an availability. But by God, when the United States government starts controlling speech and silencing the opposition, we cannot turn a blind eye and we cannot let it happen. And yes, I have a dream that good people will not turn a blind eye and they will stand up and they will fight back and they will demand heads on the table for violating our constitutional rights. There is no reason to violate our constitutional rights, our Bill of Rights, suppressing our speech. You may not agree with our speech, but God damn, we have a right to differ.
And this is not the first time that this has happened. Going back to July 2021, former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki explained the Biden administration's method of getting rid of politically undesirable posts on social media platforms. Quote, the reporter asked Psaki, quote, will the White House publicly release information on posts that it considers misinformation on vaccines that it's asked Facebook to block, reporter asked Psaki? She said, quote, and he lies here. First of all, I have not asked Facebook to block any individual posts, Psaki claimed. Twitter said that she lied. The way this works is that they are trending. There are trends that are out there on social media. We're aware of them. We're aware of them. Anyone in the public can be aware of them. There's also data that we look at that many media, like many of you, also get that in terms of trends, reporting, she continued, which is to be expected given the number of people who get information from social media. But she is lying through her teeth when she says that they asked Facebook to block any individual posts.
You know,
and that was back in 2021. So you ask, what's done? Nothing. Our first 14th Amendment is still getting squashed. It is unconstitutional, as you say, but there's been no lawsuits.
Okay, so you just said something that was really – really interesting, Al. You said back in 2021, and it was a little bit choppy, okay, that Jen Psaki, okay, had stated that they never asked any social media platform to silence anybody. Is that what you, that's what you, I think I heard you just read that part of it, correct? You were reading her quote.
Psaki claimed, and I quote, first of all, we have not asked Facebook to block any individual Jen Psaki claimed.
Okay, April 14, 2021, folks. Here you have it now. So now we know that Jen Psaki, we know that the Biden administration are truly liars. There's nothing transparent about them. We're going to talk about the other transparent issue, and that is a classified document shortly. But here in this issue concerning social media platforms, on April 14, 2021, the Daily Signal has printed, okay, they have included that actual memo from from Facebook, okay, in reply to Rob Flattery's April 14th email, okay, to the Facebook individual. And, of course, they've redacted the name of the individual in Facebook, okay? So Rob Flattery now is the director of digital strategy, and it's an appointment by the president of the United States. And Rob Flattery suggested the social media platform should take action to suppress Fox News host Tucker Carlson and conservative journalist Tommy Lahren. Now, both of those individuals are journalists. One is a commentator, obviously, and the other, of course, is a commentator. So here you have in writing, in black and white, directly from the White House, because that's where the director of digital strategy is, digital strategy, the White House. They flat out lied. Jen Psaki flat out lied. The Biden-Harris regime flat out lied. And they flat out went after members of the United States press. This is absolutely outrageous. This is something that every member of the United States Congress should be outraged. If Kevin McCarthy wants to set the tone, this article from Daily Signal with these documents that are contained in that article should be the basis of an investigation by the chairman of the Judicial Committee and by each and every senator of the United States Senate. Since we've been on the phone, the top post about vaccines today is Tucker Carlson saying they don't work, Flattery wrote. Yesterday was Tony Lahren saying she won't take one. This is exactly why I want to know what reduction actually looks like. If reduction means pumping our most vaccine-hesitant audience with Tucker Carlson saying it doesn't work, I'm not sure that's reduction. So, Al, Jen Psaki is a liar. The Biden-Harris regime are liars. There's no transparency in that corrupt regime, which means that everything that's been said about this administration going back to January 20, 2021, and I mean everything, shows how corrupt this regime is. They are sitting there, they're undermining our constitutional republic. They're undermining our Bill of Rights. And they are eroding the First Amendment freedom of speech. It's in black and white. See it for yourself. I'm putting the link in the chat room right now to the article. See it for yourself. Send it to at least 5 people. Send it to 10 people if you can. This is incredible what we're seeing, folks. Nope, I guess I'm not putting it in the chat room.
The collusion, the collusion between big tech and big government, Vito, isn't just another shameful example of censorship that we're witnessing internationally in America. It's blatantly, as you said, unconstitutional. As recently as 2019, the Supreme Court reasoned a private entity can qualify as a state actor subject to the First Amendment protections under 3 circumstances. And there's case law to back this up. But, hell, we can't even get Proposition 23 put through the House that is supposed to take care of this problem. So.
Well, why would the Democrats – why would Proposition 23
they
even
don't.
Go through, Al? Okay. First of all, the Democrat Marxist Party does not want that. You know, they are in control. Now we'll see what the Republicans are made of. Now, obviously, if it has to pass the Senate, it's not going to pass because Chuck Schumer will make sure his radical anti-American fellow Democrats will not pass anything that comes out of the United States House of Representatives that's controlled by the Republicans.
Yeah. Hell, if I was a Marxist Democrat, I would love this because now I can control all the messaging. I get on the horn. I'm with the Democrat Party, and I get on the horn to Zuckerberg and Twitter, and I say, "Hey guys, get rid of this story and cancel this person who's putting out this information. He's bad." Yes, sir. We're right on it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine government being able to do that? Well, they did.
They're
doing it. You don't have to imagine. You don't have to imagine. You don't even have to have a dream. It's a reality. That's why they hated Trump so much, because he used Twitter to bypass the media to get his information out, and it wildly successful. And then Jack Dorsey canceled the president of the United States of America. And then all of a sudden, everybody shut up once that happened.
Yep. Yeah, when the DNC, MSNBC, and DNC CNN decided, the host decided they were going to reword and actually redefine what President Trump stated. President Trump just simply went to Twitter and outlined it in 140 characters and defined exactly what he said. And that was having some consternation with the leftists, because suddenly their message was being their message was being torn apart as being grossly false, which it was. And it, you know, again, I'm going to say it again. It goes back to the mission statement that was written by Jerry Nadler in 2017, How We Resist Trump. Actually, it was written 2016 in I believe it was December, How We Resist Trump. And that was the method. And it was employed by every left-wing outlet
When you have the Biden administration working with and directing social media platforms to remove user expression, that's you and me, that clearly would enjoy the protection of the First Amendment. And if the government tried to censor it directly, which they did, runs afoul of the establishment of the established SCOTUS precedent. But I mean, this is going back a couple of years, even that this subject was discussed in depth.
Yep.
What year are we in now?
2023. Yeah.
Almost into February. And that was back in 2021. By my math, that's at least 2 years, maybe more.
So if you're a member of the press, and now we understand why the left wing has demonized Fox News, and it basically is because of two people. It was Tucker Carlson and Tommy Lahren. And it was those two individuals that did not meet the level of deceit, you know, within the Democrat Party, within the Biden-Harris regime. So in order to censor Tucker Carlson, it was to remove him from Facebook and remove him from Twitter. And that was the movement afoot by the Biden-Harris White House.
As the world turns.
Yeah, as the world turns, you know, there's silence with regards to the Twitter dump files that Elon Musk dumped out there. And it was very revealing. It was so revealing that we learned how how Twitter was in collusion with the federal government. We learned that the FBI paid $3 million to Twitter. $3 million of taxpayer money was paid to Twitter in order to silence opposition. Silence those people, censor those people who had an opposing view about COVID, had an opposing view from this administration, this regime. And I think that if they truly believed in the Constitution, which now I firmly believe the Democrat Party does not believe in the United States Constitution, they are working actively to dismantle the Bill of Rights, to dismantle our constitutional republic. They were successful in 1913 when they took the currency control from the United States Treasury and they placed it to a non-governmental entity, the Federal Reserve. And now, fast forward 109 years later, we are learning how corrupt government is in abridging our Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom to peaceably assemble, freedom to petition the government for grievances, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, how the attack on Christianity and Judaism is alive and well in the United States of America by the U.S. government, and then, of course, the Second Amendment. Let's look at those two bills of rights and how the Democrats are hell-bent on, I wouldn't even say diluting them. I would say destroying them. And that's why it's incumbent upon good people no longer to turn a blind eye. And it's time we fight back. Now, we may have a voice leading the United States House. We may have a voice in our representatives now that they are that the Republicans are in control, which turn to be conservative. And let's see how much they're listening. Because these stories that have come out just in the last 4 months between Twitter now Facebook, and by the way, in the same article, they talk about Google, and they talk about YouTube, and they talk about the suppression of opposition in YouTube. And there are some people here, some listeners, who've experienced it themselves firsthand, that they were silenced and they were removed by YouTube because of their opinion. Yeah, bring it on, boy. I talked about that, James Rosen. You know, no one said anything, okay? Where was the media? Okay, where was the DNC CBS or DNC ABC? Where were those members of the media, okay, expressing their outrage when the White House under Barack Hussein Totoro Obama went after James Rosen? You know, it's not an isolated incident anymore, because it's lying Joe Biden, who's done the same thing in just 22 months. Now it's 24 months, okay? In 24 months, he's done the very same thing that Barack Hussein Totoro Obama, his former boss, did to James Rosen, okay? Biden did to Tucker Carlson and Tommy Lahren.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we've had this out there for 2 years now. There are even some lawsuits that were filed against exactly this, the undue influence of government in social media. Those lawsuits were summarily thrown out, and the only reason that we know about this is because Elon Musk bought Twitter and did the Twitter dump. Otherwise, all this information would be sitting in Twitter data cloud somewhere up in the sky, and we never would have known about it. That means Jack Dorsey knew about this. Jack Dorsey needs to go to jail.
Yeah.
And then maybe he'll sing a little bit about where he got all this pressure, as well as Zuckerberg needs to go to jail now that we have all this information. But I'm afraid nothing's going to happen.
You know what's alarming about Zuckerberg? This is major, okay? But now you go back to 2016 and 2018. How much did Zuckerberg and his wife Chen infuse into the Democrat Party? Okay, how much of their cash? $435 million has been spent by Zuckerberg and his wife Chen for Democrat Party causes in 2016 and I believe 2018. Think about that, $435 million. And then we get this story coming out, okay, a year after, 2 years after, 3 years after, seeing what Facebook is doing in order to collude with the Biden regime. $435 million was spent by Zuckerberg's for Democrat Party causes to get out the vote. And I can't remember some of the other stuff in their foundations, all to Democrat Party. $60 million. Spent in 2018 up to $100 million by Mini Mike Bloomberg. Now we're talking about $500 million being infused to get Democrats elected to $175,000 a year positions. You want to talk about buying influence? You want to talk about buying and pissing on the United States Constitution and trampling our constitutional republic? Just two people. Now you bring in Soros on the other side, who is infusing under his open society and trying to elect people to the attorney generals, to the state's attorney's positions, in which many are being recalled around the country, including domestic terrorist Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn's stepson, Chase Bowden, in San Francisco. Got recalled by the liberal sanctuary city. And that man, Chase Bowden, was backed by George Soros' his foundation. I mean, it's an endless thing with these left-wing Marxists, these radicals who are actively undermining our constitutional republic And changing the vernacular too. Well, it's vaccine hesitancy, and it's and how do you get well, you know, let's censor. No, don't call it censorship, okay? Don't call it censorship. Well, Rob, what should we call it, Rob? Well, you know, I think we should take action and call it, let's call it reduction. And we'll put it in a memo and reduction. And, you know, now, is that like a, is that a cooking term? No, we're reducing. We're not, no, we're going to call it reduction. We're not going to call it censorship. Because if we call it censorship, you know, that'll be very, that'll be drastic. And it'll go to show that we knew exactly what we were doing. And we'll call it reduction. You know, we're going to reduce the amount of content that's on there. And we're going to reduce Carlson and reduce Tommy Lahren to zero on Facebook.
Okay. And don't forget about that Samuel Bankman-Fried, the FTX cyber trader who did the Ponzi scheme of all Ponzi schemes and was also the biggest donor to the Democrat Party and a handful of Republicans, a primarily Democrat Party. We're talking billions of dollars. And you don't hear anything in the press about the poor victims of his Ponzi scheme. And the main beneficiaries are primarily Democrat politicians. Absolute silence on that story, even though it's in court and he's getting charged. Nothing.
He was the number two donor to the Democrat Party. The number two. The number one is George Soros. Number two.
Oh.
Number two was Sam Bankman.
Yeah, Mr. Ponzi scheme. The king of the Ponzi scheme. Jesus. These guys
you
are worse than the mob.
Up.
No offense. Yeah.
I mean, my goodness gracious. You know, what is it going to take? And see, this is what the outrage should be, okay? And this is why people need to step up and say enough is enough, because it's no longer an isolated incident. It's a chronic occurrence. And it's intentional by the Biden-Harris regime. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not transparent. Okay? They are not transparent. So let's stop with this transparency nonsense, because it's just that it's a meaningless cliche by Joe Biden. And they have to do, they have to keep it simple for stupid, because he has a very short attention span. And they're not sure what he's going to say, and I'm sure that they were holding their breath today at the MLK breakfast, and they were holding their breath with regards to prancing him out and having some sort of press conference. I'm sorry, he doesn't conduct press conferences. He can't handle it. He doesn't have the mental capacity to handle press conferences because no one knows what's going to come out of his mouth. They can't script that. So there is nothing transparent about Joe Biden. And now it's become even more clear to the United States, to the American citizens, to the American people, with regards to the way they've conducted themselves with suppressing and censoring people on Twitter and intentionally censoring people on Facebook. So January 12th, Tyler O'Neill is the author. Go to not just information, not just misinformation, and in emails to White House, Facebook admits suppressing often true content on COVID-19 vaccines from the Daily Signal. And it just continues. And then, of course, you've got the classified document issue, okay? And it's a scandal.
No visitor logs. Yeah.
Oh. This is Joe Biden, you know, I'm going to be the most transparent, you know, president ever. Yeah. Another false statement by lying Biden and bumbling Biden's classified document scandal continues. And it's expanding. First, it was classified documents uncovered at Biden's communist China-sponsored Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement at the University of Pennsylvania. And then the documents were found in his Wilmington, Delaware garage near his 1967 Corvette. but it was locked. It was a locked garage. And folks, the Corvette is not the issue. The Corvette was a distraction from what happened. And that was uncovering more classified documents in Joe Biden's possession. And this was while Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States, not even the president of the United States. And now a third location in Biden's Delaware home in his private library. How about the timeline of events? November 4th? Now, by the way, Election Day was November 8th, 2022. That was the midterm elections. 6 days before that election, did you know that Biden's attorneys find classified documents stashed at the Penn Biden Center in Washington? 6 days before the midterm elections. Biden's personal attorneys, who do not have security clearance, by the way, discovered 10 documents with classified markings, some of them labeled top secret, in a locked closet while clearing out his office at the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement. Now, this is 6 days before the midterm elections. Does anybody recall hearing about these documents being uncovered, these classified and top secret documents being uncovered 6 days before the election? So here we have a willing media in the United States that suppresses information. That's correct. There's crickets. Oh, but it gets better. So the documents were dated between 2013 and 2016. So let's do a quick calculation here. 2013, Joe was vice president under Barack Hussein Thor Obama. Oh, wait, 2016, he was also vice president. And it included material concerning Iran. So the Iran deal. Ukraine. Now, what could be with the Ukraine? Could it be Burisma? Well, I had a special prosecutor. Well, son of a bitch. And I got him fired. And okay, so the Ukraine and the United Kingdom. And according to CNN, the documents are mixed in with Biden family papers, including details of the funeral arrangements for the president's late son, Beau. Oh, he died in Iraq. Who died of a brain tumor in 15. Oh, he didn't die in Iraq. Wait a minute. Joe Biden said he died in Iraq. He served in Iraq. Sorry, that was my fault. I had a Joe Biden moment there. So November 4th, now 2 days later, National Archives contacts the Justice Department saying the documents have been found and secured in Archives facility. So that means that the Attorney General of the United States knew about this 4 days before the election and said nothing. Did he contact the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi? And if he did, I'm sure she said, don't say anything. And Chuck Schumer, I'm sure, you know, Uncle Fester, Grandpa, I'm sure also said, don't say anything. And, of course, Foghorn Leghorn, well, we don't have the quality, so don't say anything. Okay. So here we have even more suppression. November 8th, Democrats performed better. November 9th, the FBI begins an assessment of whether the classified material was mishandled in violation of federal law. 1 day after the midterm elections. So now we have a cover-up. We have a cover-up from the most transparent president in the history of the United States, Joe Biden. His administration has covered up classified and top-secret documents between November 2nd and November 8th. November 14th, Garland assigned Chicago U.S. Attorney John Lausch to lead an initial investigation to determine whether Garland should appoint a special counsel. That's going to fall on deaf ears. November 18th, Garland announced a special counsel in Trump case. Oh, well, this is about Joe Biden, Merrick. Never mind. December 20th, Biden's personal attorney tells Lausch more classified documents have been found in the garage of Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. And if you go to the New York Post, they have a picture of Joe Biden sitting in his 1967 Corvette. And I wonder if that's the one that Jill Stevenson owned when she was married to Bill Stevenson and Joe Biden was fooling around with her. That's for another show. Okay, so January 5th, Lausch advises Garland to appoint a special prosecutor. January 9th, 2023, the public is first told of the mishandled Biden documents. You see, this is what transparency is. You withhold information on November 2nd, 2022. You withhold information on November 4th, 2022. You withhold information on November 8th, 2022 because it's midterm elections. And by God, if you release this information, it may show that Joe Biden is corrupt. At least irresponsible. At least reckless. But you know something? That's not our words, okay? That's Joe Biden's words. So here's an interview with Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes with Joe Biden. And of course, this is a softball question because you can't give Joe any tough questions and he can't deviate from the script. But it was the ability for Joe Biden to bash President Trump, and it was a raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago compound. Okay. Now, of course, the FBI didn't raid, okay, Joe Biden's houses or compounds, okay, personal houses. No, there was no guns drawn there, okay, because it was Joe Biden. And they'll allow people without security clearance to rummage through Joe Biden's papers to find even more documents, classified documents. Top secret. So here's Joe Biden. If you can stomach it, it's a minute and 30 seconds.
Have you been briefed, sir, on the top secret documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago?
No.
No one has come to you to warn you that important national security secrets were revealed by the storage of those documents at the former president's home?
I have not personally spoken to anyone in that regard. I'm sure my administration is aware of all of that, and so is the National Security Council, but I have not.
Were you notified of the FBI's execution of a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago?
No, not ahead of time.
The FBI spread the documents out on a floor to make a record of what was found.
When you saw the photograph of the top secret documents laid out on the floor at Mar-a-Lago, what did you think to yourself? Looking at that image.
How that could possibly happen. How anyone could be that irresponsible. And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that I mean names of people who helped, or et cetera. And it just totally irresponsible.
And you don't know what was in those documents?
I have not asked for the specifics of those documents because I don't want to get myself in the middle of whether or not the Justice Department should move or not move on certain actions they can take. I agreed I would not tell them what to do and not, in fact, engage in telling them how to prosecute or not.
Plausible deniability from a useful idiot. Lying Biden. Yeah. Have you been briefed? No. So did you catch the reference by Lion Biden to emphasize not once but twice irresponsible when he's speaking about President Trump and the raid on his compound with regards to supposed or alleged classified documents? So given POTUS's alleged classified documents in a secured location with Secret Service protection, the President of the United States can declassify documents. And of course, given the hatred of Trump by the establishment cabal in Washington, D.C., which Lion Biden is a member of, and he's a protected species, we will never know if President Trump had declassified documents because the cabal needs to excoriate and demean the man in any way, shape, or form. And conversely, Joe Biden was vice president of the United States at the time in 2013 to 2016. When he had those classified documents, that he took those classified documents, that he stored them at the Communist China invested Penn Biden Center. And there's no outrage. Oh, you know, we heard all the left-wing excuses. And boy, the loyalists are out in swarming out, and they're protecting Joe Biden, a protected species in Washington, D.C. Well, you know, the president didn't have as many documents as as Donald Trump had. Oh, but I have to tell you, there is an article, and I believe it was in the American Thinker. And I got to say, this man, McDonough, was absolutely spot on with regards to that particular excuse that was used by the left wingers. When these phonies and these frauds who are out there protecting Joe Biden with regards to the citing the number of documents out, it only takes one document, one classified top secret document to expose our operatives, to expose our covert operations. One document. So it doesn't matter that Donald Trump may have had 100 and, you know, Biden had 6. That one top secret document could be as damaging as the combined of the 100. And if Biden had classified and top secret documents with regards to Iran, with regards to Ukraine and the United Kingdom, what was on those classified documents? So the VP doesn't have the authority to declassify classified documents. So to use Lion Biden's own words, it was totally irresponsible. It was irresponsible and reckless by a vice president who jeopardized national security. And left-wing apologists, all covering for Lion Joe Biden, they make excuses for his irresponsibly mishandling classified documents. Because keep this in mind, folks, although the left-wing, the DNC-sponsored media, finds ways to excuse the irresponsible actions of the corrupt Biden, all it takes is for one classified document to exploit national security. One page. And given the communist Chinese government had invested in Joe Biden, as they did with the Penn Biden Center, the communists invested in crackhead Hunter and the Biden crime family. Having left behind just one classified or top secret document jeopardized and could compromise national security. Now, there's some numbers out there with regards to how much communist China invested, anywhere from $25 million to $72 million. Here again, the dishonest DNC media will excuse and cover up for the frail old fraud, Joe Biden. And so where are the left-wing chimpanzees like Michael Beschloss, a presidential historian with no history degree, but a mouthpiece for the Democrat Party, as written by Richard McDonough of the American Thinker? Where is Beschloss calling for Biden deserving the death penalty like he called for President Trump? Huh? Where? He's silent. How about former CIA director Michael Hayden, who stated Beschloss' comments about the death penalty for Trump was about right? So Michael Hayden has been silent about that. And they're all silent because it doesn't fit the left-wing narrative. And it's imperative double standards need to be employed and ignore Joe Biden's irresponsible act jeopardizing national security at the Penn Biden Center and also his home in Delaware. Now we have three locations. The corrupt Joe Biden is part of the Washington, D.C. cabal of corruption, and therefore his irresponsible and restless actions of mishandling and compromising national security are being ignored. Although there are some media outlets now, including DNC-CBS, where some anchors are stepping outside that box. They realize now that they're dealing with a useful idiot in Joe Biden. That he's not this transparent guy that he's making out to be. He's nothing but a blowhard. So check out the American Thinker article dated January 12th titled "Shameless Media Immediately Makes Excuses for Biden's Mishandling Classified Documents." And I'll say this about the author Richard McDonough. He makes such a great point in concerning the number of documents. It doesn't matter the number of documents. What's a national security risk are what's contained in those documents. So to excuse Biden's irresponsibility because there may have been less documents uncovered, However, what did they contain? Because just one document could do endless damage. Given irresponsible and reckless Vice President Lion Biden left classified documents behind a Chinese, communist Chinese-sponsored center in Joe Biden's name, should be an absolute cause for concern. And you see, the corruption is not just limited to the glossy, irresponsible former VP and now installed president. The corruption includes the left-wing media ignoring a former vice president, placing America's national security in jeopardy. The Washington, D.C. cabal so despises President Trump, they turn the raid on Mar-a-Lago into a dramatic event, and why? Just remember Congressman Jerry Nadler's six-page manifesto mission, How We Resist Trump. Number one, we must do everything we can to stop Trump. Okay, so in my words, that includes berating, bullying, abusing their power and constitutional authority to stop Trump. Number two, by Jerry Nadler, depress Trump's public support. Well, folks, how have we seen that? We've seen that consistently day after day since November 9, 2016. We see it day in and day out to this day. Publicly humiliate him by orchestrating public armed raids on his personal residence. The Democrat Party, the cabal, must find ways to depress Trump's public support. Number three, the first order of business must be to refuse to allow the normalization of Trump. This was the mission statement by Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi. Refuse to allow the normalization of Trump. And this is a great example with regards to these classified documents. Let's face it, the corrupt Joe Biden is the perfect career corrupt chimpanzee to attack former President Trump and appear to be holier than thou, whether it's in a Catholic church or in a black church, right? Now we're learning even more. He goes to black churches now. Whatever the day's news will be, whatever audience he's facing, just make something up, you know, just like beating up popcorn. The career politician who lacks the character, the ethics, and integrity to criticize anyone, including President Trump. And lastly, Jerry Nadler writes in his manifesto, Donald Trump doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. And boy, has Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer made that clear. And it's no clearer now with regards to the double standard. And as Hank Jones said last week, if it wasn't for double standards, the Democrat Party would have no standards at all. So the double standard that's being employed by the Washington, D.C. establishment cabal, the left-wing anti-constitutionalists, the classified documents found at former Vice President Lion Joe Biden's communist Chinese-sponsored Penn Biden Center, and excuses immediately made by the left-wing DNC media to excuse the irresponsible and reckless actions of mishandling classified documents by the Frello fraud Joe Biden. Donald Trump doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt, yet let's cover up for Biden and his breach of national security. But there has been a slight opening shedding some light on Biden's irresponsible actions. Members of the CBS News team are expressing their concern and displeasure of the cover-up, inconsistencies, and lies by the Biden regime. CBS anchor slams White House propaganda princess Jean-Pierre. And for those of you who don't remember, for those of you who remember Baghdad Bob, that was Saddam Hussein's propagandist. Jean-Pierre would make Baghdad Bob very proud. The level of dishonesty and the absolute lack of transparency by this dishonest regime continues. This pretty much sums up when DNC network anchors are getting frustrated, and you know it's bad. So CBS anchors Errol Barnett and Lana Zak slammed Jean-Pierre for having not answered a single question about the discovery of the documents. Now, for the second day straight day now, the White House struggling to answer any questions related to classified documents discovered at locations associated with President Biden, citing Karine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, simply reading a statement where she says the president was surprised by the discovery. He takes the matter very seriously. The documents were inadvertently misplaced, and he doesn't know what's in them, Barnett began. Next, Zach said, she has not answered a single question outside of a pre-written statement by the president's lawyers. Exactly, Zach agreed. And continuing then to say the same thing again and again, even in response to the very simple question about the timeline and about the specific location, clarifying questions and continuing to use the word transparent and saying that they did things in a transparent manner. So now, folks, you know it's bad when even CBS anchors are becoming disgruntled by the stonewalling and the lying from Biden and his propagandist, Jean-Pierre. CBS anchors Errol Barnett and Lana Zach aren't buying the disinformation. They're not buying the misinformation and the obfuscation for Joe Biden's irresponsible actions. And the level of deceit and dishonesty continues by this corrupt Biden-Harris regime. And now I absolutely love it where these anchors, these news anchors, okay, news readers are becoming quite upset with the use of the term transparency when they're getting zero from Jean-Pierre, the propaganda princess. But hey, you know what, Al? It emboldens them. It emboldens the Biden regime, and they continue to lie. They dismiss their irresponsible actions, and they simply ignore questions about their anti-constitutional authoritarian actions. And Biden's focus is to dismantle our constitutional republic, and his anti-American regime is focused on that. And one more note, this level of deceit and anti-constitutional dishonesty should not come as a surprise to any citizen, because the Biden-Harris regime is made up of anti-Americans, anti-constitutionalists who have shown their utter contempt for our constitutional republic now and in the past. And we're talking about the regurgitation of Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama staffers. That's who's occupying. That's who's in Biden's hierarchy. We've said it before. I can never remember. Power. Susan Rice. Oh, I love the term about with regards to Susan Rice. Richard Young describes Rice's appointment. Biden appoints Obama's liar in chief to domestic policy council, talking about Susan Rice and how she lied profusely concerning Benghazi, and she's the domestic policy council. So you're wondering who's running things? How about Brian Deese, the National Economic Council, another holdover from Obama? Ali Zaidi, born in Pakistan, and his birthday, we don't know. He was either born in 1987 or 1988. That's great vetting of someone who's inside the White House. But you know what? He wasn't just inside Biden's White House. He was also in Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama's White House. They've done a very poor job of vetting individuals. I understand a person's born in Pakistan, but you can't verify the man's birthday. It's like not verifying his birth certificate. So this guy works for Obama for 8 years in various roles, and you mean to tell me that the nearest thing you can come up to with a birth date is he was born either 1987 or 1988? You know, he was either born in New York or he was born in London. I don't know. You know what? He was either born in Hawaii or he was born in Kenya. What does it matter?
Well, even worse, even now, you've got House bigot Democrat hypocrisy of Martin Luther King Day. You've got House Marxist Democrat bigot Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas is introducing legislation that would end free speech for white people in the United States. You probably didn't hear about this in the news, So the representative Lee wants to define hate speech that only white people can be charged with. In her, this is the name of her legislation, Leading Against White Supremacy Act of 2023, close quote, which clearly suggests that the bill only applies to white people. White people would not be allowed to ask questions about open borders, criticize minorities, or advocate for persevering American culture. Advocate for preserving American culture. Third-party tweets and social media could be enforced by law, and that if someone commits a violent act based on your tweet, even though they retweeted it, her law goes as far as to hold that person responsible. But you're talking about racist activity on Martin Luther King Day. This wins the Hypocrisy Award for all of 2023, all 25 days. This even goes further back to 2022. This is bigotry and racism on display. But it's okay. It's against white people.
Let's see. What was it? I have a dream that all men are created equal. I have a dream that a person would be judged not by the color of their skin, but of the content of their character. I would say that the
great words from a great man.
Yeah. Maybe Sheila Jackass Lee should read the transcripts, you know, not listen to it, but read the actual transcript from Martin Luther King when he talks about judging a person not by the color of the skin, okay, but by the content of their character. And the character of the members of Congress should call it to question. And the racist actions by a sitting member of the United States House of Representatives, who once again is trampling on the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The Democrat Party is actively seeking to shred the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Joe Biden did it. And you know what? And I'm saying Joe Biden did it because the appointees that he put in place, such as the digital gentleman, okay, is appointed at his behest. Just like he appointed the Ministry of Truth person that they finally had to close or remove her from it, because the Biden administration is going to decide what speech was acceptable. And now Sheila Jackass Lee wants to create a racist free speech, which is contrary to the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah. And then if you want to, Martin Luther King, if you want to judge a man by the content of his character, even the Miss Universe pageant, Vito, is getting into this, because I don't know if you watched Miss Universe. I sure haven't watched that in years. But during the recent Miss Universe competition, new owner Anne Jacquefong Jacques Joutip, I think, I'm not sure what national, probably something Asian, she made a speech celebrating that women now run the competition. This is the Miss Universe pageant. Despite the fact that Jacques Joutip is a biological male. Now, Jacques Joutip, she went out during the clips from the Miss Universe pageant. She is in full woman mode. He came out dressed like a woman, looked like a woman, wearing a dress to make, and now had the balls. And I use the word balls figuratively and literally. He had the balls to come out and say that the Miss Universe pageant is now female run, even though he is a man and bought it, bought the rights to it. So there's three pronouns here: Mr., Ms., and Mrs. You are one of the three. That's it. Mr., Miss Universe, a man still owns and runs the Miss Universe pageant. This man just happens to be a little gender confused. Bending.
Gender confused?
Gender confused is a very good word. I like that. But he's not confused. He's just a man who thinks he's gender confused.
Yeah.
But he's trying to fool everybody. He's a gender liar.
There you go.
He wants everybody to think that he's a woman. He's a gender liar, living a lie. and trying to make people accept him as a woman. Well, I don't give a hell what you are. All I know is that you're lying to me in the biggest of ways.
So is Miss Universe now going to allow cross-dressing males to compete?
I would imagine so. Now that a cross-dressing male owns this franchise. But
boy,
you know,
that swimsuit competition
really
is going to be quite revealing, Al.
I know.
Sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to talk over you.
In all seriousness, you know who this really hurts? This hurts women.
Yes.
The Miss Universe pageant celebrates women and the content of their character when they say whatever they say, you know, how they're going to save the world, and the beauty of women. And now you got some man dressing up as a woman and, I don't know, ruining the whole franchise of Miss Universe. What's it going to be, Ms. Universe or non-binary? You know,
there you go.
It's a man. He is a man, and I'm sick of it. I tell you, I am. I'm over the top on all of this gender bending and all this stuff. I mean, if you want to be a man and you want to dress as a woman, great. But don't ask me to accept that lifestyle.
And that's exactly what's happening. And you can't. And if you were to voice your opinion to less than one half of the population, you're considered a radical, and your voice is being censored, and your opinion is being squashed.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that could be possibly even worse than this is if some city council somewhere said, "Okay, now we can do animal sacrifices at your house." That'd be pretty bad, don't you think?
Yeah, but didn't that just happen?
Did it now? Oh, it sure did. In Hamtramck, Michigan. The Muslim City Council passed a law that you can now sacrifice animals legally at your home.
What? Really?
I mean, there's all kinds of laws against that in every city across the country. You got animal cruelty laws. You've got environmental laws that can be broken. And because they are Muslim, that is their belief during two holidays, or they'll sacrifice animals, and it's a big deal for them. And they're going to – when we talk about the slow Sharia creep, this is it. And so that's pretty scary. But there's also a story of some good news. You want some good news?
I would love some good news, because this gender reduction stuff. Go ahead.
Well, you remember last week we were talking about a story that there are Chinese police stations in countries all around the world, and also here in the United States in New York.
Yes.
Well, in that story, the communist Chinese government was setting up these police stations so they could watch their Chinese expatriates and the Chinese population here in the United States.
What?
Because China as a communist country, every Chinese person here in America, if Xi goes to them and said, "I need you, Mr. Chinese person, as a janitor, I need you to get as many documents as you can from this business out of the garbage and give them to one of my operatives."
Okay.
Yeah. Even there, you can even go into his garage, or you can go into a Corvette out on the street, go into their into their glove box and take whatever documents you can find that are classified nature. Yes, you could do that too. In other words, the communist Chinese can make any Chinese citizen here in the United States a spy at a moment's notice, because what they will do is they will threaten any family members back in China or put direct pressure on them here to submit, do what is asked of them by President Xi or the Chinese directorate, and become a spy or face tough consequences. Well, anyway, these Chinese police stations, they were the center of the wheel, the hub of the wheel, as these Chinese agents would go out and threaten, coerce, and scare the hell out of Chinese citizens to get them to become spies or worse here in the United States. Well, anyway, the FBI raided the Chinese police station in Chinatown. So chalk one up for the good guys and chalk one up for the FBI to finally doing their job for something. So that's good news. That's my good news story for the day.
Wait a minute. This is important because what you're stating is that the communist Chinese government has placed communist Chinese operatives inside the United States who are actively patrolling the streets of what is called Chinatown
not necessarily Chinese spies. These are just regular citizens. This is a person that owns a Chinese restaurant. This is a person who is a janitor at some company. This is a wife who is at home raising her children. Every one of these people are a potential spy if called upon to spy.
Yeah, but
for China against America.
But didn't you also say that there is a Chinese police station in Chinatown?
Well, yeah, but it's how they describe it. It's a long arm power to show their own citizens inside China that their government is strong. And Safeguard Defenders Research Chen Yinting says, quote, "We have the power to reach globally. Even if you go out, you're still under our control." And that's the power they want to project to U.S. citizens of Chinese descent.
Okay.
And they are successful at it. Yes.
All right. So actually, let's look at something here. Article 6, Clause 2. "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land." So it's nice to see that the FBI is upholding the rule of law inside the United States, but somehow this should be made clear that the supreme law of the United States is the U.S. Constitution. It's not communist law. It's not the Sharia. It's not the U.N. law. It's the United States constitutional law. So there should be deportations, massive deportations in Chinatown if, in fact, the Chinese government has placed we call them spies inside of Chinatown.
Yeah.
And Chinatown has expanded, yep, too, so.
Big time. Yeah, well, it was raided by the FBI counterintelligence agents, and they were working on a criminal investigation with the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. And there are at least 102 such outposts, Chinese outposts, have been documented in 53 countries in recent months by the human rights group Safeguard Defenders. Christopher Ray said in November that he's very concerned about the outposts, which he called police stations, but he's even wrong about that. Yes, they're called police stations, but they're basically Chinese spy hubs. So, yeah, you're right. They should shut them down. The article doesn't specify what they're going to do now that they've raided the place. I imagine they're going to shut it down, but they don't go into any specifics.
And didn't you
say they should have raided Biden's home?
But wait a minute. With regards to the Chinese, you did say too that what the communists do is that they hold family members back in China. They threaten those family members, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if need be, to apply leverage. So you've got a Chinese national who moved to the United States, became a Chinese citizen. They're an academic at Caltech, and they're doing breaking cutting-edge research. You pick the subject. Well, Xi says, hey, this Dr. Wang We need him to start getting information for us, everything he can get from his position. We need it all. So one of these people from the Chinese police station will hop a plane over to Southern California, have a meeting with Dr. Wang, and say, President Xi has called in a chit. You need to start spying for us here at your university setting and get us all the information, not only on your research, but what's happening, anything in University of Southern California or within your world of influence. Or we know who your family is back home, and they will pay a price if you do not do what is called upon you by President Xi. And that's how it goes down.
That tells me that there should be, because it can be a confusing story, okay, but that tells me that there needs to be a better vetting process for those traveling into the United States, those people traveling from China, those communist Chinese citizens who are coming to the United States on break. They really need to vet those individuals to find out where they're going, who they're going to see, and for what purpose, and also try to trace back what the occupation is of that individual flying into the United States and traveling into the United States. Mm-hmm. Because if they are going in to see Mr. Wang, so let's say that Chung is coming in from China and he's going to see Wang. We got to find out what Chung is, you know, what his occupation or her occupation is. You know, just like Fang could be disarming and could corrupt a U.S. House of Representatives. But now you've got Chung coming in getting Wang. So you got Wang Chung here. You know, what is Chung's occupation? What does he do for a living?
Well, yeah, I mean, every Chinese is a potential spy. How do you defend against that?
That's exactly right.
It's very, very difficult. Yeah, every Chinese person is a sleeper agent or a potential sleeper agent when called upon. You can't screen it out of them, because if they're not currently, like Fang, an active, an active asset here in the United States, and they're working honeypot operations on Eric Swalwell, then if they're just a businessman or a professor or something, and then they don't even know that they're an agent until they're forced into being an agent, or they go do it willingly. Who knows? But yeah, there has to be some type of screening for Chinese citizens. They are a direct threat, potentially, here in the United States of America.
And you know, Al,
that's
this
a whole nother. It's a tough one.
It's tough, but it's also disturbing. And it's disturbing because the American people now have to awaken even more, because now we're talking about China, communist China, being active in recruitment here in the United States. And then you have Sharia police coming in. And you have the Muslim Brotherhood, and you have the fundamental countries, Muslim countries, sending over or setting up Sharia police in the United States. And once again, it's a violation of Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. So now we have the communist Chinese undermining the rule of law in America, and you have Sharia undermining the rule of law in America. And we have politicians who are doing nothing. But again, we should clarify that, because the FBI did bust and raid this Chinese police station, because that was a story a couple of weeks back, last month, mm-hmm. with regards to a Chinese police station in Chinatown in New York City.
Right. And then we got the open borders issue, where we have all of these people coming in with open borders. They're not getting processed through as they should legally. They're just being let in. And there's Asians, there's Venezuelans, there's a lot of communists that are coming over. These people are not good for the United States of America. and then we don't even know about them. That is a national security threat that needs to be plugged up and quick. But I don't see that happening with this administration at all. Because as we said before, President Biden wants open borders because he sees 4 million Democrat voters, and he sees them becoming Democrat voters once that they are granted amnesty, which they will do given the chance. They will do it and succeed, most likely. And then there's 4 million new Democrat voters. That's enough to control an election and control power for 2-3 decades at the worst. That's a big deal.
You know, I have a prediction. You know, I'm watching, and I'm sure you've seen it, okay? So something's got my antenna up, and with regards to, you know, suddenly you've got Lion Joe Biden wanting to go to the border, and he's talking about the border. But he's only started talking about the border in January, you know, after the loss, you know, of the U.S. House. And now Mayor Eric Adams, the Marxist mayor, decides he's going to go down to the border to investigate. Okay, why is this happening? Now, 24 months has gone by where the Biden-Harris regime and the Biden-Harris edicts have caused millions of illegal, unvaccinated, unvetted aliens to enter the United States. And the Biden-Harris regime has actually transported many of those illegal aliens to cities and towns all across America. And we have the continued issue of disease and COVID spreading continually. And then you've got the Mexican president, Andres Manuel Obrador, who's thanking Joe Biden for the open borders, okay, not building 1 meter of the wall. So my prediction is this, and you're right, it's over 140 countries people from over 140 countries have entered the United States. My prediction is this, that the Democrat Party is orchestrating the theatrics of Biden being concerned about the border suddenly after 24 months, and now Eric Adams going out with his dramatic travels to the border. Within the next 4 months, the Democrat Party will lay blame on the Republicans for the influx of illegal aliens that have come through the southern border and invaded America. The Democrat Party, will lay blame on the Republican Party for all of the 4 to 5 million unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens who have poured through our borders. They'll blame the Republicans for not having the border secured, not enough border agents. And it's why, you know, bonehead Biden had to send air marshals down to the southern border. This is a theatrical play right now. And it's act one was to ignore the border for 24 months. Act two now is to set up to act three. And act three is to blame the Republicans for the border crisis that we're seeing in America. That's my prediction. The Democrat Party is so dishonest, Al. This administration is anything but transparent. This administration is anti-constitutional, and I firmly believe they are anti-American. And I'm tired of hearing the cliches, rule of law. I'm tired of hearing the cliche, transparency. And obviously, some people in the media are also getting tired of the word, the cliche, transparency. And now this sudden interest in going down to the southern border after 24 months of doing zero, zilch, nada. No, something's up. And you know what? The Democrat Party is setting up the Republicans right now. And, you know, they better be very aware of what the Biden regime, the Obama-Biden regime is doing, because they will take the full brunt blame of the invasion of illegal aliens in America. So that's my thought. Hello? Al?
Yeah, the press will allow that to happen. I'm here. The press will allow that to happen.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, just like that one dopey Democrat congressman comes out and says, oh, well, maybe these documents were planted by the Republicans. The timing seems very suspicious. That was the same Democrat congressman who said that Guam would tip over with all the people coming to the island.
Yeah.
Hank Johnson, what a moron.
That's right.
Well, anyway, I was watching the news, and CBS, I think, and that was the clip that was played, and I'm like, oh, my God. I said, this is going to be the this will be what all the news stories will follow up on and make real. Is this dope going, well, maybe the Republicans planted this because the timing is very suspicious, don't you think?
Yeah.
Sure enough, if that didn't happen, I hear that echoed throughout the media.
Yeah, Dopey Joe. They planted it on Dopey Joe. They put it in the Joe Stevenson Corvette, right by her Corvette. It was Bill Stevenson who did it. Finally, he got upset the fact that Joe stole Jill and was banging Jill while he was married.
Yeah, and forget the fact that the house was in Hunter's name and Biden was paying rent to his son. Allegedly.
Well, hey, today is Martin Luther King Day. I hope you all celebrate it.
Oh, wait, one more thing.
We got 2 minutes.
President Trump, he was talking with the authorities. They even came to Mar-a-Lago and told him to put a lock on the door so the authorities are well aware of the documents that is at Mar-a-Lago.
Great point.
Anything to the contrary is bullshit.
No, great point. That is an absolute great point. And this is, again, it goes to Jerry Nadler's mission, never give President Trump the benefit of the doubt. This is an orchestrated event, the orchestrated event of the border. This is orchestrated. But Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 is going to be orchestrated. And then we got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can purchase on Amazon.com or go to Paul's website. Friday, Andrew Harrod is back with Conservative Casual Friday. And welcome back, Andrew. We'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers. Minister Simon Dabduck at the beautiful Christie Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, revealing the truth about Islam. Check them out. And Sunday, Eric from Safaristan is back with his interfaith dialogue, The Cross of the Crescent, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Keep G-Ski in your prayers. Of G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Friday with a great co-host, author Curtis Bennett, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Simone Nicole Show on Spreaker.com, 8 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evenings. Check it out. 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Spreaker.com if you want a break from politics and all the other nonsense. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check her show out. 8 p.m. on Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Great show. Mr. P gives a great monologue. Really enjoy that show. She's got some great guests. So Al and I will be back next Monday evening. And you all be safe out there. Don't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to what's happening. And let it be known to your elected official that you are outraged. You're not going to take this nonsense, this lack of transparency. You all be safe out there. Al.
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week. Be safe.
Thanks, Bigfoot. Thanks, boy. Ducky Northwest. Thanks, that guy. And thank you, Sue from New Mexico. Ciao, everybody.
Pretty quick.
It did. Great points, Al. And you know what? The comment at the end was perfect with regards to President Trump, who did inform the government about the classified documents. He did inform them, and that's what makes
the whole
raid on his compound bullshit.
Yeah, he was in direct communication with them, and then all of a sudden the government went dark for 2 months, and then the house got raided, not through actions of their own. You tell me
right?
That wasn't a setup. Yeah, the FBI should have been raiding Biden's home, especially now that you've got people who should not be looking at classified information, his lawyers, personal lawyers. They shouldn't be anywhere near those documents.
Agreed.
Yeah, and if his lawyer finds, he's going to go through them, and if he finds an innocuous document that means nothing, I found this. President Biden made a mistake. Here's the document. There's nothing on it. But the other 50 that I have that I hid, well, we'll get a, you know, he'll take blame for something that is minuscule or meaningless, and his people are probably scooping up those documents and shoving them in folders and destroying them as we speak. So yeah, the FBI should be there, but they're not. And I don't know, where the fuck are the Republicans? Jesus.
I don't know, Al. You know what? And that's, again, it goes back, doesn't it, to the one party, the uniparty, the government party. I'm speechless by this whole thing, because it's, you know what? You can't give these people any more credit for what's being done. Where is the outrage? I mean, the classified documents. You even have CBS anchors now expressing their outrage over propaganda princess Jean-Pierre and the stonewalling that she's doing. I mean, you know, is it about time that they get upset, the media starts getting upset because they're being used and abused? They're made to look like fools with all these excuses. You know, Hank, from Georgia, okay, talking about, you know, should we be concerned about Guam tipping over? And now he's talking about, well, maybe we should be planted. Maybe somebody planted those documents. Now you tell, there's no way, shape, or form that those instructions didn't come down from a higher authority to start that phony narrative.
Oh, hell, it was a beautiful propaganda play. The minute it came out of his mouth, I said, oh, that's brilliant. Kudos to you, you Marxist bastards. That's what was going on inside of my brain. I was impressed from an oppositional point of view. Why can't we be as smart and clever? Right,
Hank
Sue?
Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there,
are you
Sue?
Buying that?
Hell no, you can't get anything past Sue. She's on to that, I am sure. You there, Sue?
Yeah, I'm
Sue,
here.
Sue, hello. Hey, there you are.
Hey, okay.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, trying to get a new phone set up.
Oh, good. Oh, fun.
Did you buy all that with Hank? Saying there's a Republican plant.
No, it's all BS. And Biden was the vice president. What the hell was he doing with those papers? You know, he's given a lot of stuff to China. He is so entwined with China, it's blowing my mind. And why people are not more upset at this, I don't understand. His connection with China, he's compromising us, you know, right now. I don't think he has the brains now to know what he's doing. But what he set up way back when is continuing to compromise us with China. And China's getting to be real scary, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they're squeezing Taiwan. And even if they take Taiwan right now, do we even have the military might to take on the communist Chinese over Taiwan while we're sending all of our resources to Ukraine? There's some talk from military people that we don't have the resources militarily to handle a war in two fronts, and the war that we're handling in Ukraine may not be people, but it's definitely equipment and money.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing, this Ukraine-Russia thing is, did you hear where some of the, I guess the Russian spies defected because they were upset with Putin?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, because of my phone, I haven't been able to be on the internet, but I came across that, I think it might have been on a YouTube blog or something.
Huh.
But there was something like five.
Did it say where they defected to?
I think it said, what would it be? I think somewhere in the EU they defected.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been Great Britain, but I'm not quite sure on that. And then my phone went haywire, and I wasn't able to follow it up. But when I get this new phone set up, then I'm going to go in and see if I can find more. I don't know if it's true, you know, and like I said, I haven't been online to really, you know, follow up and see, but you haven't heard anything about that.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. You know, that would be amazing. But the more I'm hearing about Zelensky and Putin, you know, they both are just the most disgusting people on the face of the earth. And they're both, well, Putin, I don't know that he's getting a lot richer. He's just getting, you know, back to USSR and his communism. But Zelensky is getting sickeningly rich with his war. And you think about all the people who are dying. It's just disgusting.
I just can't get over it. Where's the outrage? I don't know where the outrage is. Here it is. Mrs. Zelensky, just like Yasser Arafat's wife, Mrs. Zelensky travels to France, goes to a posh French boutique, upscale stores, and she spends over 40,000 euro that they can account for, and there's no outrage. Let's just send them another 48 billion. I just, in a time of war, when Ukrainians are dying, supposedly, from a Russian invasion, and there's no outrage.
Well, you know, in Great Britain, they're starting to push back, the people are. But what, you know, one thing Great Britain did was they sent a lot of their ambulances and, you know, equipment like that, they sent it to the Ukraine. Right now they have an ambulance shortage where people are dying waiting so long for an ambulance. I mean, the whole world has gone totally nuts. You know, everything they're sending to Ukraine, and then, you know, their people are suffering. It blows my mind. Oh, what are gas prices now? Because I haven't been online to see. Are they going up?
Yeah, they've crept up. Yep. Yeah, matter of fact, last week I was driving by a gas station, came back from golf or going to golf, and it was $3.11 a gallon. Maybe that was 2 weeks ago. And I went to fill up that evening at 4 o'clock, and it was $3.25 a gallon. It went up 14 cents a gallon. Now it's back. That's for regular unleaded. And now it's up over $3.30 a gallon.
Well, that's going to go up. How are people doing heating their homes in the East, you know, with the cost of gas and everything?
Good question. I know that.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah. I don't have television right now either, so I'm really in the dark on this stuff. But that was one thing that, you know, was a real concern, was how are people going to heat their homes? And I haven't heard anything about that.
One friend paid $333 last year in December, okay, and then came back that very same day in 2022. So that was 2021. The very same day, December 15th, I believe it was, and paid over $714 for the same amount of natural gas. Doubled. And the person's retired.
But people just don't really seem to care, you know. And you've got all of these immigrants and everything coming in, yet our veterans are on the street, you know, and some of them are freezing and everything. And, you know, it's just insanity is what it is right now with the world and what they're doing.
Oh, it's awful. It really is. It's what's happening here in the United States, and they're trying to sugarcoat what's really happening, and the American people are struggling, you know, to pay those bills, to pay those oil bills. And I know firsthand from some relatives up north of me that are paying even more and are trying to find ways. They have actually sought financial assistance to buy heating oil for their house.
Wow, and that's probably the first time in their life they've done that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's become a real issue. It has become an issue. I mean, it's honest to God, it's incredible what's really happening with regards to the price of oil, heating oil, and natural gas. And I have another friend whose natural gas bill for his business went the same amount of usage now, same amount of tonnage. He paid about roughly $400 a month, okay? He gets his bill, he opens it up, and the bill is for $2,400. And it's like,
oh,
whoa. Yeah. He goes, what the hell? So he calls the company, and he says, hey, I think there's been a mistake on this. He says, I average $400 a month. $440 a month for my business, and I just got a bill for over $2,400. And they said, no, that's right. I'm sorry. And so, I mean, he was on the phone with them for at least an hour, I think. And So all this noise about gas prices coming down 10 cents or 25 cents, you know, heating oil, that's up 600%, 400 to 2,400, 600%.
You can't budget that in your monthly budget. There's no way.
He had to raise prices.
Yeah, well, they're increasing my rent next month by 9%. They went over, you know, first they said, well, you're getting an 8.5%, you know, from your Social Security. And then they came with a new contract and they said, no, we're going to take it up to 9%, you know. And
there goes your
8%
increase.
Well, that and plus some, you know, it's just, you know, how can you keep up with any of this? You know, you just keep cutting back. And, you know, I'm starting to cut back on some medications and stuff like that. And I know people all over, you know, are doing the same thing. And I know a lot of elderly are doing that too. They're basically, you know, when you start looking at your medications and cutting back on it just so you can have a place to live and food and heat, you know, it's really bad. And that's how it's been in Russia for a while. You know, the lodges that I go to, and especially the elderly there, their pensions aren't very good, and they don't really take care of their elderly in Russia. And there's this one group that goes around and they try to help them, but you know, they don't have heat, and one of the first things that goes, you know, they don't pay for anymore is their medication. And then by the time they find these old people, they're really sick. You know, and a lot of them have died. You know, I've watched, you know, because they do kind of a progression. You know, we found this person, this is what we did. And there's quite a few of them that, you know, ultimately died. They couldn't get them help in time. And that's what's starting to happen, I think, in the United States. And so people, you know, we think we're so much better than Russia, but I see us starting to go the route of Russia, you know, in the way that we treat our elderly and, you know, the people who are out on the street and everything, you know, it's just first come, first serve, you know, and it's this whole mentality of people who can contribute. I can't remember what that, you know, it was kind of like a bell curve. And the very young, which you see that in your abortions and things like that, you know, they can't actively contribute to society. So you give them less and you don't really want them. And then it goes, you know, up to where you've got the people who can work and really contribute. You know, you try to give them the most and then it goes down to where it's, you know, you're elderly and you're retired and all of that. Well, they're no longer contributing. So you take away from them, they die, so what? You know, and that was one thing I think Obama, there was one guy, who was it, that he was kind of pushing that. That was when Obamacare was coming in. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't think of the name of it right now. I'll have to find an article on that, but it's actually out there, and it's a theory that has been going on for a while. And the globalists, they kind of go with that also. And so when you start looking at, you know, like all of the abortions and everything, that kind of goes with, you know, you're young and it takes a while before they can contribute to society. And then you go and you look at, you know, more of the elderly or the sick, you know, whether it's veterans, PTSD or whatever, they're not contributing. So you take away from them. Well, you get rid of them on both. And then, you know, the ones that you really, and I think you're seeing this with the unemployment and all of the perks and everything they're trying to give to, you know, people like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not making sense, but it just really gets to me, you know, what I'm seeing. But the more I see with Russia and how their, you know, system is now, and then I start thinking about, you know, the United States and where we're going, pretty soon there's not going to be much of a difference in the two countries.
It's almost like it's by
sad
design.
But true.
What?
It's almost like by design.
Well, yeah, no, that's what this is supposed to be, by design. You know, especially with the United States. I wish I could remember the guy. I'll have to, when I get a phone and I can get back on the internet, I'm going to find that and get an article to you, and you can see what I'm talking about. And it'll kind of... really, you know, it's pretty crazy, you know, what they're doing and everything. So I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens. And then you just kind of wonder with the greater creator or whatever, look at what's happening in California. It's kind of like, you know, they've had the earthquakes and then they're having the massive flooding, and it's, I guess, pretty bad situation out there in California.
Yeah, and apparently what flooded in California is a major growing area.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
uh-oh.
Prepare for lettuce to skyrocket here.
Really?
Well.
Yeah.
Just
eggs and lettuce, I guess.
Yeah, right. Eggs and lettuce.
Yeah, eggs over $6 a dozen. You know, that's. I thought I'd never see something like that.
Yeah, well, at least you can get your fentanyl cheap.
Yeah, but I can't get my pain medicine cheap. $371. You know, so here.
For what? For what drug is that much?
Tramadol.
Tramadol?
For... it used to be, yeah. My insurance
Tramadol.
Company.
Because that's for pain.
Yeah,
it's
insurance.
A very mild pain and anti-inflammatory.
Yes, it is. And
yeah, we get
my
that for our pet from the vet.
Yes.
It's nowhere near
oh,
that.
Oh, you can? Maybe I'll go tell my vet my cat has a lot of pain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, check
but,
it
you
out.
Know,
I'm
you
serious.
Know, it's the Federal Blue Cross Blue Shield, and
yeah.
They're giving me a really hard time now, even on that. It's just, you know, and you wonder where they're, I don't know, and people go out and they can get fentanyl and they can get Percocet and you can get any drug you want pretty much on the street, you know, but God forbid, you know, I take 2 Tramadol a day and
well,
so
I'm serious. You should really, I mean, no joke, you should really talk to your vet and tell them you need Tramadol for your cat because, you know, Z-Packs, for, you know, the Z-Pak Resistromycin?
Yeah.
We get that from our vet, for me and my wife.
I didn't know that
Well, they don't get, I mean,
pets.
you gotta buy it, but they, I get veterinary Zithromycin, and it works the same as the Z-Pak.
Yeah.
Because my doctor wanted me to come in for an office visit, which cost me like $90, and I'm like, well, shoot,
yeah.
I'll just get it from the vet and take the dog in.
How are you, fleas?
Is that crazy?
Oh, hey, one thing I haven't followed. What did McCarthy do about? He said the first bill he was going to have introduced was to defund the 85,000 IRS agents. Did he do it?
He did it. Yep, supposedly.
He did do it?
I mean, he talked
did
about
it.
I don't know. Did it get done? Vito, did it get done, or is it just still in the talking
I haven't
state?
Seen anything yet. I know they were having issues with the chairs, but I have not seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
He appears
well,
to have made good on it, which I was surprised.
Maybe he'll do a little bit of it. But I tell you, I can't wait till I can get television back and my phone working. I'm just dreading switching this phone over right now. Right now I'm trying to back up as much as I can. And then I'll have to do the switch over, and that's always not a nice thing to do.
No, it is not.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to need it. I'm just like, I'm dreading this with a passion. But right now it's taking me about 24 hours to charge the phone so I can listen. I had to charge it for a day so I could listen to you guys' show and everything.
Well, thank you.
So, But anyway, it was a great show. I really enjoyed it. It's like catching up on the world news and everything.
I find the revelations about Twitter and Facebook very, very fascinating, and especially when it comes to the government now getting involved in censoring speech. I don't know why.
Well, you know, I was glad you mentioned YouTube, too, because Twitter and Facebook, but YouTube is getting so bad. The little bit I've been able, you know, I usually go to my YouTube channel, so I like watching them. But the censorship that is occurring on YouTube is, I think it's as bad or worse than it was on Twitter. It's really, really bad. You know, and they'll just take the channels down with no explanation or anything, and all of a sudden, you know, the channel's gone, and then you find out, you know, why, and they make them jump through hoops and stuff to get back on and everything, but they're definitely, not conservative, it's your left-leaning, you know, they're, but they're as bad. They've taken over where Twitter and Facebook left off to where, you know, I think I talked to you guys, even if you comment, you know, on something that you've watched, you can get censored. I've gotten censored to where I couldn't comment on anything in YouTube whatsoever. I think the longest I went was 2 weeks that I, you know, couldn't comment or do anything. It, with no explanation, it was just, you know how they used to put us in Twitter jail? Well, that's what YouTube is doing now. You go to YouTube jail.
Salty dog.
Yeah.
Pretty much. All right, well, I'm gonna hit the road. You guys have a great week, Sue. Pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, you
Vito, too. Great show as always.
Yes, Al. You guys have a nice evening, and we'll talk to you next week, eh? B.
Sounds God willing, and the quick don't rise.
That's right.
Hopefully, I'll be in the news again, too. Anyway, thank you, guys. And,
all right. Bye,
God bless Sue. You. Have a good
God
night.
Bless you. Thank you, and good luck on your phone.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Bye.
See ya. Have a good